look at that and see what those differences might have been and may have caused certain things to happen in their lives. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding a promise for both the present life and the life to come. Father, I come to you tonight and I thank you that you've called us to be godly people, not people who walk around thinking that we're better than anyone else at all, because that is not godliness, that's religiosity. Lord, what you've called us to do is to walk in your presence, to understand what it means to abide in you, and then to live in that place that you have for us. I pray, Lord, tonight that you will speak to us through your word. So many things to look at tonight to just remind us where we need to keep our eyes and our hearts, and they are fixed on you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we know Joseph, one of 12 kids. It must have been kind of rough growing up in 12 kids, and he was the one who Dad liked best. So, of course, he took the wrath of the rest of the brothers who didn't like him very much at all. But Joseph, as he was sold into slavery and taken off to Egypt, found a place to work in Potiphar's house, the place where he was sold to. And instead of being bitter and angry and asking God why, he did the very best he could right where he was. So we're going to compare Joseph's temptation, which he was tempted with Potiphar's wife, to David's temptation with Bathsheba. Now David, he was king. He could do anything he wanted to. He wasn't always king. Remember, he spent many years running from Saul, hiding in caves. And in many cases, he wrote amazing psalms that we have in Scripture today. And the Scripture says he was a man after God's own heart. So, I mean, these are two pillars of the faith. But they both reacted differently to temptation. And so we're going to take a look at that tonight. One of the reasons I believe that Joseph did not succumb to the temptation of Potiphar's wife, but David did succumb to Bathsheba, is because Joseph was in the middle of God's will. I believe Joseph was exactly where he was supposed to be at just the right time. And that has a lot to do with it. In fact, Genesis chapter 39, verses 2 through 6, says the Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, I love that little statement there, and that the Lord gave him success in everything that he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household, and he entrusted his care of everything that he owned. From the time that he put him in charge of the household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was well built and handsome. All right, so we see Joseph was just simply faithful right where he was. Did what he was supposed to do. But David was not where he should have been. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2 says, one evening David got up from his bed and he walked around the roof of the palace. Now, why would he be doing that? Maybe he just couldn't sleep. Maybe his TV went out. I don't know. But he decided to go walking around on the roof of the palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. Now, it doesn't say in Scripture that he thought, gee, I shouldn't be looking at her. I need to go back in the house. It doesn't say that at all. In fact, what it's typically saying is that he stood and looked. So, Joseph, in the middle of God's will, David not exactly where he should have been. The second thing is Joseph was close to God. Genesis 39, verse 21 says, says this about Joseph. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And you see, he took the rap of being ratted on by Potiphar's wife when he didn't do anything to her. So he got thrown in jail, in prison, for something he didn't do. But he didn't stay in prison griping at God and asking him how come he got the bum deal. What he did was he stayed close to God and he found favor in the eyes of the prison warden. But David, when he did what he did with Bathsheba, fell out of fellowship with God. Now, is that possible for a Christian? Is that possible for someone who knows God? Absolutely. Because we can choose ourselves over God. Psalm 51, verses 1 through 4 talks about it. David got to a point after a year later than this happened with he and Bathsheba. He came to God and he said, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what's evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge." One thing about David was, he always wanted to get back right with God, even if he messed up. But Joseph chose to stay close to God. That's the best place to be, by the way. Stay close to God. The third thing is that Joseph accepted the circumstances as if they were from God. See, when he was thrown into jail, he didn't look at it like, "God, you forsook me, you're not watching over me." But instead, he looked at this as another opportunity to do something that God wanted him to do. In Genesis 39, verses 2 through 6, it says, "The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered. He lived in the house of the Egyptian master." We read this whole thing a little bit ago, but it simply says, Joseph was in charge. He didn't concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. And so, in other words, Joseph was in the process of doing everything that he was supposed to do. And no matter what the circumstances were, he accepted it as though it was from God. The very next verse, in verse 7, tells us that then Potiphar asked him to come and sleep with her. David, instead, he rejected God's way and he tried to alter the situation with Bathsheba. He tried to cover it up. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 8 through 14. "Then David said to Uriah," he brought Uriah home from battle, hoping that Uriah would go and sleep with his wife. "And he said to Uriah, 'Go down to your house and wash your feet.' So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king was sent after him. But Uriah slept at the entrance to the palace with all his master's servants and didn't go down to his house. And David was told Uriah did not go home. So he asked Uriah, 'Haven't you just come from a military campaign? Why did you go home?' Uriah said to David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah are staying in tents, and my commander Joab and my lord's men are camped on the open country. How could I go to my house to eat and drink and be with my wife? As surely as you live, I will not do such a thing.' Then David said to him, 'Stay here one more day, and tomorrow I'll send you back.' So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. At David's invitation, he ate and drank with him, and David made him drunk. But in the evening, Uriah went out to sleep on his mat along with the master's servants. He did not go home. And in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah back to battle." You see, David was trying to manipulate it, trying to work something out to get himself basically off the hook. Joseph accepted the circumstances from God. He knew that he had been put on the spot by Potiphar's wife, but he accepted it. David tried to manipulate it. The next thing is that Joseph was accountable. It says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 8, "But he refused when Potiphar's wife told him to come to bed with him. He refused. 'With me in charge,' he told her, 'my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything that he owns, He has entrusted to my care. I'm accountable to Him, not to you, not to anyone else. I'm accountable to Him. But instead, David had no accountability. He was king. Who was he supposed to be accountable to? Well, we know the answer to that. But it says in 2 Samuel 11:1, in the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army, and they destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. You see the problem there? At the time when the kings were supposed to go out to war, David stayed home, sent the army out on his behalf. Instead, he wasn't where he needed to be. He was not accountable. He decided to stay, and because he did, he committed the sins that he did. Joseph ran from sin. Genesis 39, verse 12 tells us about his encounter with Potiphar's wife. She caught him by the cloak and said, "Come to bed with me." But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. See, Joseph wasn't about to let his master down. Moreover, he wasn't about to let his God down. So he ran from sin. David, on the other hand, sought the pleasure of the moment. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 2 through 5, it says, when he got up and walked around the roof of the palace, he saw the woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She's Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, and the wife of Uriah the Hittite." David could at least just stop there, but he didn't. Then David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Now she was purifying herself from her monthly uncleanness, and she went back home. And the woman conceived and sent word to David saying, "I am pregnant." David sought the pleasure of the moment. He wasn't thinking about the future. He was king. He could do what he wanted to. Joseph walks with God. And his walk with God was obvious. You know, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 tells us about walking with God. If you can move that up to Paul, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, doing what's right always brings glory to God. Not what we want, but what He wants. But David's sin was obvious to others. Even though he thought he had covered it up, even though he kept trying to do things to make sure that nobody knew, ultimately Nathan knew. God had spoken to Nathan's heart. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. You see, even though David was king of Israel, even though David in many ways was a man after God's own heart, when he chose to disobey God and to go against God's laws in his life, instead of falling before God and confessing it immediately, he tried to cover it up. He tried to sweep it under the rug. He even committed murder to try to get away with it. But he couldn't get away with it. Our sin always affects other people, always. So our devotion to God is so incredibly important. We see it in Joseph. We see the lack of it in a period of time in David's life. What is our devotion to God? Well, I think it's based on three D's, basically. It's our desire. It's God's desire in our heart. Do we have the same desire as God has? 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." You see, our desire ought to be not only accepting Christ as our Lord, but continuing to live in Him. And as we live in Him, we are rooted in Him. We are built up in Him. We are strengthened in our faith in Him as we were taught. And because of that, we will become overflowing with the thankfulness to Him. That's God's desire for us. What's man's desire? Well, Psalm 40, verse 8 says, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. So it has to be a desire from both directions. God is always desiring for us to follow Him. But we also have to choose to desire to follow Him. God will never make you do anything. You have to choose. You have to have the desire to fulfill what He's called you to do. Secondly, it's discipline. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of what? Godliness. What is godliness? It's walking in coordination with God. It's living in His presence. It's allowing Him to be in charge, allowing Him to be in the driver's seat and on the throne, living in godliness. Give God the priority that He's due. Somebody said this before, how do you spell love? T-I-M-E. You spend time with God. Consistent time with Him makes things different. I can tell you there are times when I get so busy and I don't spend the time that I need to with God, and it shows in my life. We need to spend time with Him. Not only because we know it's right to do, it's the best thing to do. Don't do it when you feel like it. Do it because you know it's right. We talked about this verse last week. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it brings forth a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. We need to desire God because He desires us. We need to be disciplined to follow Him and not our own desires and our own purpose. And thirdly, we need to delight ourselves in the Lord. I love Psalm chapter 1, but this particular section of it says it like this. Verse 2, but his delight, the man who decides to follow God, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. In other words, God's Word is on my heart continuously. And I measure everything in my life by God's Word. I measure everything in my purposes by His Word. I measure everything about the direction He wants me to go by His Word. His Word will never lead you astray, ever. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10 says, I delight greatly in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? I delight greatly in the Lord. It means in His presence. That's where I want to be. I want to be in His presence. I want to live in His presence and not leave. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord. There it is again. And He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, all of these are just reminders to us of things we probably already know. But sometimes we just need to be reminded, because it's not just going to church. It's not just having a quiet time each day. It's not any of those things that bring us into godliness. What brings us into godliness is our choice by our own will to live in the presence of God and obey the things that He's called us to do. That's our choice. And we have to make those choices on a moment-by-moment basis in our life, because we're so easily swayed. We're so easily taken back by our own sinful desires and our own wickedness. I mean, look at the difference between Joseph and David. Why did David do what he did, and why did Joseph do what he did? Because Joseph loved God so much that he wasn't willing to break the rules with Potiphar's wife. David loved God, but he also loved himself. And he loved his own pleasure. And he made a wrong choice. What's good, you know, what's good news for all of us is this, though. Even though David, who the scripture says was a man after God's own heart, if he messed up, we mess up too sometimes because of our own selfish nature. But the fact is, we'd rather be like Joseph, who just decided to be faithful and to walk and abide in God. And that's godliness. That's living in His presence and asking Him to live through us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for Your Word. I ask, Father, that You'll help this take root in my heart. I pray, Father, that I will be like Joseph, who's just willing, no matter what the circumstances are, to bring honor and glory to You. And I pray, Father, that You will just help us to be like that. Help us to want to be in Your presence continuously, all day, every day, so that we may please You and honor You and exalt You and lift You high, because You deserve that. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.